In the first chapter of our letter from to the Hebrews, we are told faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In verse 13 of our chapter, it said, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. It's difficult, isn't it? Do we see it in our imagination or do we perceive it on the horizon? I had a pal that I went to school with who often quoted his granny's saying, if you believe everything you hear, you can eat everything you see. Now that's a fairly granny-ish saying. It's what we would call gnomic, I think, isn't it? But there's a point to it. What we cannot see includes our future and our thoughts and our dreams. And somewhere among these unseen things, faith is to be found indeed. For the Christian, faith must be found. And folk have always wanted to know about the future. They have made their ways in the past, and still many do, to fortune tellers and interpreters of dreams, people who are called important names, like adepts. An adept is somebody who's really good at something. They're not always easy to find. Experts who can allegedly do better than we can. People who can maybe read the signs on the human body, or in the heavens, or in the elements of creation, even in tea leaves, long ago, before tea bags were invented. Such experts are still around today. They're not looking into the entrails of sacrificed animals, though, but they're trying to find an alliance of science to certify their credibility. Others still rely on identifying themselves with the so-called traditions of ancient mysticism. But whether they are quacks or snake oil merchants or respectable professionals, they are visited by people who are insecure and uncertain and want reassurance. They're people who are looking for something they can believe in. They're seeking faith. And as we move closer to another new year, and don't we feel it coming nearer as the nights draw in and the Christmas items have crept into the shops already, and as our shopping anxiety increases too, perhaps there are increasing numbers of such anxious people. There are certainly plenty of uncertainties that we're going to have to face as Brexit looms. And there may be consequences in terms of jobs, security, health, and social care that have to be faced. There are also international issues looming. War and peace, famine, oppression, they're always there. Threats to democracy causes for concern. People are interested in future, fate, and fortune. So we may well wonder about the place of faith. And the writer of Hebrews has attempted in this first verse a definition which does stand the test of time. To be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of things we cannot see. But that's more about what faith does than about what faith actually is. It's as if to say that's enough to know when we have faith. It's enough to say maybe that faith is the absence of doubt. But doubt about what? I think we have to try to know about faith as we try to know about other things, other ways in which the human personality or the human body works. Thomas Aquinas, the medieval philosopher, would, and in fact did, want to place faith in a category of human activity, such as a function of daily life. Faith was just there, Many scholars and preachers talk about faith as conviction, as a quality, or as a means of understanding, or as a faculty that is exercised. And the one I thought best was not about faith being a muscle, so much as being the organ which enables people to see the invisible order of things. That was a commentator, F.F. Bruce, who I think was big in the 1930s. An organ which enables people to see. So he saw it as part of the physical makeup. That puts faith into a category that we can understand in terms of human personality. It's like conscience. Conscience is in there somewhere. It's an organ. It's in our inherited makeup. We say nowadays, it's in our DNA, don't we? People claim all kinds of things in their DNA. Conscience, faith, why not? We know that in that sense we share it, but we know too that in some of us conscience is more active than it is in others. We know that it requires training, like the muscle, which needs exercise and regular attention and scope for use, so that it is in good working order, and that is true of faith. So I think that faith is like one of our senses. You know, five senses, or in our new age ideas, people maybe think more about a sixth sense. Perhaps intuition. So without swallowing too much in the way of telepathy or mind expansion, we may be prepared to admit that there is another sort of awareness not accounted for in the five categories mentioned already when I was talking about the fireworks and memory, the smell and the taste. Faith is an abstract, but it must have a sense by which it is felt and maintained. So, if we take faith for granted, we may find that in a time of difficulty, it may not stand up to being tested. All the examples that are given in this chapter of Hebrews are ancient, and there are many more in the list that you and I might want to choose to compile. But what we do know is that faith is revealed in action. Faith is a response to a test. It will be interesting to you, as it was to me, to find that the Old Testament does not deal with faith at all, not as such. Faith is a New Testament term and concept, and it is part of what's called the New Covenant. It is the acceptance of Jesus, the Savior. For the ancient Jews, the relationship with God and people was that of the covenant, as I was mentioning last Sunday. It was a relationship of fidelity on both sides. The word used in the Old Testament about this relationship is chesed. Chesed has a meaning like trustworthiness, reliability. It's maybe even close to the guarantee I spoke about last week. It's almost like a term of business representing mutual security, as if the covenant between God and humanity were a contract. And of course, in a way, it was. The righteous person gives loyalty, faithfulness to the law, and God will take care of him or her. But we know what observance of the law meant to the people of the Old Testament. The biggest part of the Bible is about how they turned away from the law or failed it when the test came. It led them into byways and it led them through loopholes so that you could take your girdle to lower a bucket into the well. I always remember William Barclay talking about that. You couldn't use a rope on the Sabbath because that was working. But if you used a piece of clothing, I suppose it would be a tie, would be the equivalent today for those who still wear them. it was in a different category. So the law is the law. Study of the law could divert you from attention to the service of the Almighty. And it blinded many to the message that Jesus brought. Faithfulness to their kind of law destroyed or denied the potential of faith. And Jesus came with a new law and a new commandment. When I was in my teens, I remember a sermon about faith in which the preacher quoted faith. For always I'll trust him. You probably heard that in your teens as well. It was probably in the Young People's Address Handbook for Ministers long ago. I also have heard, I've heard it more than once myself, I know, because I've also heard, not for always I'll trust him, I've heard forsaking all, I'll trust him. And that says that bit more that helps to encapsulate the idea of the New Covenant, New Testament, New Life faith. Because the writer of the Hebrews is not saying that faith is new. He is saying now, because of Jesus, we know what faith is. We now recognize the quality. It is trusting God, just as all these figures from the past did, survived by faith, overcame challenges by faith, endured by faith. Then we should have that faith too. We still need to know where faith is found. And it is found in the example of Jesus and in the examples we have known. The examples we have known in the times of our lives. Examples of folk that we have met or known about who have toiled, endured, scrimped and saved and made sacrifices for families or friends, people who have set aside personal ambitions for the sake of parents or children or brothers or sisters or their kirk or their community, giving care, providing financial support, making sure others were provided for or cared for or even saved from whatever might have brought them harm. Like the faithful of the past, they trusted in a future they could not see because they were able to accept that this life was only a stage on a journey. They admitted that they were strangers and sojourners. That's what the Authorized Version says. The translation that we've heard calls them aliens, foreigners and refugees. Only words. Only words that have a vivid significance in the terms of today's news. People in transit, travelers, pilgrims, displaced persons, their true home had to be somewhere else. Their father's house, the eternal city. So we've moved faith into being part of that pilgrimage of life that leads to the end of faith. You see, when I went to train as a BB officer, when we did enjoy singing that hymn, My Faith It Is an Oaken Staff, I was taught that the Boys Brigade wasn't an organization, it was a movement, and it must continue moving. So the idea of a journey is a great one for our understanding of faith. It means that you have to be prepared, you have to be adaptable and fit. The organ or the muscle of faith has to be in trim for the Christian journey. It has to stand the testing and take the strain. One last thing. Let us not mistake security for faith. So many people today find security in ideas picked up or handed down or woven together from some time in their youth. You can tell that from what I've just said. Many try to take refuge in faith of their fathers, which cannot withstand the challenge of today's world. Many have a Christmas card faith, which is static, frozen like a photograph, and only exercised once a year. expressing itself in cliché and jingle. We need, for our journey to eternity, a living faith, one that has to meet life's ups and downs to survive the assaults of paganism and the undermining of progressive theology. It has to be resilient. It has to include an element of risk. So faith is physical and mental. It is intellectual and emotional in terms of human qualities, and it has been amply demonstrated for us by the one who was faithful unto death. Let us pray for that faith. Amen.